Welcome to the Northview Church Podcast. Here at Northview, our mission is to connect people with God and to connect people with people. You can join us each weekend live at one of our Indianapolis locations or online through our online campus. Visit www.northviewchurch.us for specific times and locations. Now for this week's message.
Hey Northview, this weekend I'm really excited to be able to welcome a very special guest speaker, John Townsend, who is an expert on Christ-centered recovery and specializes in helping people move towards mental and emotional health. In addition to his work as a psychologist, John is a leadership coach, organizational consultant, and a New York Times best-selling author of 27 books, which have sold over 8 million copies. John and his wife Barbie have two sons and live in sunny California. So honestly, I was surprised when he agreed to come to Indiana in the middle of February. Well, Northview, would you please give a warm welcome to Dr. John Townsend?
Hi, everybody. It is cold. But you guys have better steaks than we have, so there's a trade-off here. How's everybody doing? I just got a... Just got to tell you, I'm glad to be here. I spent a lot of time in Indiana and sort of a second home, and just love the warmth of people and being here. So I hope this is a good time. Tell you a little story. A man's daughter grew up, and she said to him the words that every father dreads. She says, "Dad, I've met the man I'm going to marry." And the father's a little freaked out, and he says, I don't know who he is, and this is kind of new for us. And she says, "Well, I want you to meet him." He says, "Don't worry, I want to meet him." She says, "Well, I've got an appointment for you to interview him." He said, "What time?" She said, "Tomorrow at 3:00." He said, "I'll be here." So the appointment's set. Next day at 3:00, there's a knock on the door. The father opens the door, and there's the young man there. And the father says, "Hi, Larry." And Larry says, "Hello, Mr. Smith." He says, "I'm here to visit with you." And the father said, "Don't worry, we'll take care of that." And they come into the room and they both sit down, and the father says, "Listen, I don't know you, and my daughter says she's going to marry you, so you're very important to me all of a sudden, but I don't know anything about you, and my wife and I just love our daughter, and we want to make sure she's with somebody who, you know, we're feel like that she'll be safe with, and you know, great relationship and all that. So, Larry, I have some questions to ask you about yourself." Larry says, "I've got no secrets, sir. Ask away." "Great. First question, what do you do? I mean, I don't even know what your job is or your career. What's your job and career, and where are you going in life? Because we want to make sure that our daughter marries somebody who's going somewhere in life and is stable." The young man says, "That's a great question. It's a great question. I don't have a job or a career. I'm just not my gifts. And just never got into those things. But I can tell you something, sir. God will provide." Now, if you've been a Christian a very long time, the phrase "God will provide" is a little weird because it can be taken in two very different directions. One direction is, you know, if the person sounds like they're kind of on it, then it might mean I'd better do what they say or I'll get struck by lightning or something. So you got to pay attention. Some people, when they say God will provide, they need like really strong medication. So the father goes, I'll give you the benefit of the doubt here. Next question. What are your assets? We want to make sure our daughter has somebody who has some assets that they'll be stable and, you know, life won't be too, you know, scary and unstable. So what are your assets? You got money in the bank, stocks, bonds, not oil. Real estate, what do you got? Young man says, "That's a great question. Great question. I don't have any assets. I got no money in the bank, no stocks, no bonds, no real estate. Just never got into those things. But, sir, God will provide." So now the dad's starting to sweat bullets a little bit. This is not going well. He says, "Okay, question number 3 and last question, Larry. What are your dreams, goals, and aspirations, because we want to make sure our daughter's with somebody who's going somewhere, they've got traction, they've got a direction. Dreams, goals, and aspirations. Really great question, sir. I don't have any of those. I'm just not a dreamer, not many goals. I like to hang out. Is that a goal? Just hang out? No aspirations. But sir, I can tell you this, everybody one time, God. So the meeting ends, the young man leaves, the dad's sitting there in his chair kind of traumatized, right? So his wife comes in, she says, well, honey, how'd the meeting go? He says, sweetheart, there's good news and there's bad news. And she says, well, of course, bad news first. What's the bad news? She says, oh my gosh, there's some bad news. This guy's got no job, no assets, and no goals. So now his wife is traumatized. She says, honey, what on earth could the good news be? He says, sweetheart, there is some good news. He thinks I'm God. Now, for some of you, this is in the life script that's going on right now, right? But there's something about us in our faith that sometimes we think we have to play God for other people. Sometimes we feel like we don't know where God is, and sometimes we don't get the people-God equation. And Steve Arterburn, who's a good friend of mine, we've been friends for 30 years and we've been doing radio together for 20 years and doing the series with you guys, has written a great, great series about relationships, which is how do you know where the God piece is and where the people piece is? And so we're going to talk today about connections with each other. And my takeaway, I always believe in a takeaway, is that you'll get an understanding of reaching out to Jesus with skin on. Not just being Jesus with skin on, reaching out to Jesus with skin on, and some application about that. So, in your handout, there's the first section that says the two types of life fuel. The two types of life fuel. See, life has got challenges. You've got to get up in the morning, you got to work out, then you got to go to work, and you got school, or you got your career, and you've got family, you've got relationships, you've got somebody you're dating, you got somebody you're married to, you got kids, and you got to give back and serve. I mean, life takes a lot of energy, and so God provides fuel. Just like we're a little car and an engine, and we're going down the road of life, God gives us two types of fuel to energize us and keep us going and all these good things. And the first one is what I call the vertical. And the vertical is what we get from our relationship with God directly. Now, how do we connect with God directly? Well, all sorts of ways, through reading His Word and worshiping Him and prayer and surrender to Him and asking His guidance. That's the vertical. I was very vertical this morning when I was listening to the worship team because they got me into a very vertical place. I felt all this great stuff from God. And by the way, can we just give the worship team a hand? It's a phenomenal, phenomenal great worship team. I speak all over, and this is one of the best in the nation. You guys are really, really fortunate. That's the vertical part. And the Bible talks about that. It says in Second Thessalonians, Paul says, may our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God our Father, who loved us and by His grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope. By His grace. The vertical grace that comes from all the channels that God speaks to us in. My best days in my life are when first thing I do when I get up in the morning is I read His Word and I ask for the filling of the Holy Spirit and ask Him to guide me and help me. And then I go work out and then I go talk to the family. Then I get on to work. I don't have a problem-free life, but my best days are when I've taken care of the vertical and try to stay connected to Him all day. The second fuel is the horizontal. Now, if the vertical is my direct relationship with God, the horizontal is people. People in our lives, people that care about us, people that want to be with us. And sort of like God says over and over again that we're supposed to connect with people to get the energy we need too. 1 Peter 4:10, another verse we have, says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. We are the delivery system of God's grace. That first passage I read, grace. The second passage I read, grace. There's the vertical grace and there's the horizontal grace. And see, we don't get that straight. Most of my work these days is with leaders, organizations, executive teams, churches, corporate work. And I talk to a lot of leaders, and leaders especially, when I'll tell them, talk to them about this, they'll go, oh, I get it. I get the vertical from God, and then I go and direct people and mentor people and guide people and help people and disciple people and all that. And I'll say, that's not what I'm saying. You're saying that you get the insourcing from God, and then you outsource to people. And we're supposed to do that, but you're missing an element here. You get the insource from God and the insource from people too, as well as the outsourcing, because you can't give from an empty tank. God created us with two holes inside of us. There's a God-shaped hole, and there's a people-shaped hole. Functional life, healthy life, successful life comes from both holes being filled. A dysfunctional life comes from only one of them being filled. So I'll talk to my leader friends, and they'll say, oh, I got it. I get the insourcing from the vertical, and the people I get it from are my spouse and my dog. And my spouse, you know, listens to my fears and, you know, my passions and my failures and accepts me no matter what. And my dog has to listen because that's what dogs do. And I'll say, I'm so sorry for your spouse and your dog right now. They must be overwhelmed because the Bible doesn't teach it that way. If you have, like on my iPhone, I got my little Bible app so I can read my word, right? And if you open it up and you went to a search function, you typed in the words one another, just one another, and hit search, you get 20 or 30 passages opening up that say things like accept one another, love one another, comfort one another, speak the truth in love to one another, on and on and on. Because we're supposed to be receiving grace as well as giving grace to each other. But it's hard because you feel like you don't want to be high maintenance. You don't want to be a black hole of need. It's kind of embarrassing. So we just give to each other. It's a problem. There's a family I'm very close to. We kind of raised our kids together. And I've just known them for forever. And we love each other. And we were visiting with them on vacation, and one of the daughters came up to me, and she said, can I talk to you? And I said, sure, what's up? She was in college. She says, well, actually, I'm kind of struggling. And I said, I'm sorry to hear that. What's going on? She said, well, first, I'm a senior, and I'm a communications major. I said, I'll pray for you. The market's tough. She said, but that's not it. That's not all of it. That's not all of it. She said, my boyfriend and I broke up, and I really liked him. I thought he was the guy, and the chemistry was good, and the values were good, and it was just getting really good. And now he's gone, and I'm just sad and lonely, and my heart's broken. And I said, my heart broke because I love this family so much. And I said, I'm so sorry. I didn't know that. She says, there's something else. And I said, what? She said, I don't know if I believe in God anymore. I said, well, tell me about that. She goes, well, I don't know. It's just I can't feel him, and I don't know him, and I don't know. I'm reading all this stuff. She was going through that whole angst that you go through in your 20s. I certainly went through, and it's not fun, and, you know, how much of my faith is my family's faith and how much is mine and all that wrestling. She said, it's just hard. And I said, I had no idea you're going through all this stuff. I said, well, what can I do to help? She said, fix my mother. I said, what? She said, fix my mother. I said, I'm off the clock. I'm on vacation. She goes, but you said you were a friend of the family. And I said, and I am open to manipulation too. You're right about that. So what do I have to fix? She goes, well, she's kind of nuts about this stuff. I said, well, what do you mean? She says, you know what she says when I tell her how I'm doing? I said, no, what she do? She says, when I tell her about the no boyfriend, no job, no God, she goes, honey, mom voice, honey, you're a Christian, okay? You're smart, okay? And you're pretty, okay? Feel better. I said, that's kind of crazy. She goes, yes, it's very crazy. I said, what do you do with that? She says, well, I just ignore her. I said, okay, I get it. She said, but you are a shrink, go fix my mother. I said, great. So I go to the mom. I'm having a great time on my vacation, by the way, just counseling away. And so I go to the mom and I say, so I heard about Lynn. She goes, oh my gosh, it's awful. I said, yeah, she's got a God problem and a boyfriend problem and a job problem. And I said, this sounds awful. She goes, yeah, fix her. I said, well, I need to fix. She goes, yes. I said, well, before I fix her, she tells me that you tell her that she's Christian, smart, and pretty, and she ought to feel better. She goes, I know. Fix her so she can hear the wisdom and use it and feel better. And I said, I'm not sure that works. She goes, you are a shrink. Fix it. So when I'm around very left-brain people who are very logical and linear, and I can't reach them, the logic's crazy, I tend to be a little more on the other side of the world, the right side. I always move into a story, because I'm a movie TV person. I mean, like I'm a Netflix binger, you know? I'm that guy. So I know that stories sometimes reach people better. So I said, let's look at it this way. Your daughter fell down a well. She just tripped and fell down into a 40-foot, awful, dark well, the well of no boyfriend and no God and no job, and it's terrible, and it's cold and confusing, and she feels overwhelmed and awful, and she's lost. It's a bad place to be. And then you're her mom, and you love her, so you lean over the top of the well, and where you are, the sun is shining, and there's clouds and little pink ponies running around and good stuff. And you say to her, honey, you're Christian, smart, and pretty. Come on up. Like Bob Barker, right? Come on up. And she blows you off. She goes, well, what am I supposed to do? I said, well, let me tell you what really happens. Let me tell you what your husband does. And he's a good friend of mine. Your husband, her dad, stands on the edge of the well where his daughter's down there in all this distress, and he jumps in. Just jumps into the well and lands 40 feet down where his daughter is. And he picks her up and he holds her. And he says, it's really dark here and it's confusing. And it's overwhelming, and it's scary, and I've got you. I've got you. And I'm going to have you here in my arms until we find a way out. And she said, you're asking me to jump in the well. And I said, I am. You're a leader and you're a mom and you need to jump in the well with your daughter because that's why she listens to him and doesn't listen to you. She said, you don't know how hard this is for me. I'm an encourager. I'm an advice giver. I've got all this wisdom. And I said, we need encouragement. We need advice. We need wisdom. We need people cheering us on. But your order is in the wrong place. If you go to John chapter 1, where John, the apostle, describes the character of Jesus, verse 14, it says that Jesus came to us full of two things, full of grace and full of truth. And in the Greek, syntactically, meaning how the words are arranged, the order is significant. It doesn't say he came full of truth and grace. It says he came full of grace and truth. Why is that? Because for somebody to listen to your truth, they've got to be in the well with you. She can't digest your truth because you're not connected to her. Anybody here in this room ever been truthed by someone? And maybe it was right. Confronted on something, but it wasn't in the well. It was just truth without grace, truth without grace, truth without grace. I have, and it's awful. And I feel condemned, and I feel judged, and I shut down just like my friend's daughter was doing. You might have had that experience. Grace is there as the antibiotic and the antiseptic to help us to metabolize truths. So she said, it's just not natural for me. And I said, sometimes what is natural is not what is spiritual. You got to relearn some stuff. She says, how am I going to do this? I said, I don't know. I said, put some duct tape on your mouth. I don't know, but you're a mom, and she needs you to jump in there and just be connected to her and empathize with her and let her know that you get it, and she'll listen to your truth. She said, okay. I checked with the family 6 weeks later, and I checked with the young lady. I said, how are you doing? She said, we're great. Mom and I are doing fine. We talk all the time. I talked to the mom. She says, I get it. I'm doing it. Because she's a good person. Now, application. Since most of us in here in the room, I assume, are just your normal guilt-ridden Christian, right now you're thinking, I'm not in the well enough. I'm too advicey. I got to stop that. And you probably do. But there's a deeper application I want us to have. And here's the deeper application. Think of yourself right now as a 10-year-old boy or a 10-year-old girl inside you, or a grown-up man or a grown-up woman, when you've been in the well, and maybe you are right now. Who's in the well with you? Not who are you in the well with. Who's in the well with you? Because that is the way that God constructed how we're supposed to live. Some of you don't want to ask because you feel like you're asking too much. You'll be so amazed and surprised at the responses of people that'll say, tell me more. I had no idea. Tell me more. I want to know how it feels. Can I help you? Can I pray for you? Tell me more. And you'll begin to experience the miracle of the healing and the growth of the body. That's how profound this is. Which is why Steve's written a great book. And that's why this series is so good. Because the book is a relational book. If you haven't gotten Healing as a Choice, get it. It's a wonderful, wonderful book on how when we choose to find God's healing and growth, it comes vertically and it comes horizontally. Don't miss the horizontal. Second part where it says the choice to help your life, is, I want to talk a little bit about the struggles of life, because we all have challenges and struggles. We have challenges in our habits that we don't like about ourselves, or our feelings we don't like, or how our relationships are going, if a relationship is frustrating or alienating or going upside down, something in our career, something in our finances. There's struggles galore in life. There's some ways to look at this. And the first one you see in your notes, it says, don't play injured. Let me explain what I mean by that. I was working with a large ministry organization you would know. And I was having dinner with their board, the board of directors. The founder was not there because the founder had some personal losses, family losses that were quite deep and quite serious. So he wasn't there. So I care about a lot about this guy. So we're having dinner at the restaurant. And I asked the board, I said, so how's he doing? They said, not well. He's really, really struggling. And I said, so sorry. Is he getting help? And they said, no. I said, why not? They said, he prefers to play injured. Now, when they said it, it was sort of like this sacred moment in their heads, like, isn't this a man of God that he's playing injured? And I'm not wired that way. And I said, guys, I love you guys, but I'm about to throw up my tiramisu right now. Because my Bible says, Proverbs 4:23, to guard your hearts, for from it flow the wellsprings of life. And if he's not getting help to guard his heart, he's in trouble. And the metaphor just doesn't make sense. If you understand athletes and athletics, when the star player goes out in the field with a broken ACL and didn't get any help, as player injured, what is the impact on the team? The team is hurt. The team is damaged. The team is compromised. I said, because he's playing injured, he's not helping himself or the mission or you guys. You have to do an intervention on him. And we talked about it for a while, and they finally got it. They went, you know, that does make sense. And they went back and had a tough conversation with him. He went and got the help. And now he's fine. The ministry's fine. Everybody's fine. You might be that same person. And I'm not talking about, are you like a drug addict on the street, you know, living in a box? Certainly they need help. They can't even hide from that reality. But you've got some broken stuff. It might not be felony stuff, but there's misdemeanor stuff. Don't play injured. Don't go it alone. Don't say, I'll be strong. We get our strength, literally, as the Bible says, when we're weak. It's no spiritual gift to play injured. It's a good thing to get help. Second part, we have antibiotics for our struggles. I'm just going to go into the medical metaphor here, is that whenever you're struggling, relationally or personally or in your career or whatever, is that God always has the same three antibiotics in different sizes and capsules to make us whole and healed and growing people. And the very first one there is relationship. Ecclesiastes 4 says, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to lift them up, to help them up. The one over there that's picking up is in the original Hebrew is not Jesus. This isn't a Jesus passage. It's a person. We need somebody picking us up. Now, I study neuroscience because I study how it works with organizations and relationships and our brains and all this stuff. And neuroscience is really cool because everything they're finding out, the really smart guys with the pointy heads, the things that they're finding out back up everything the Bible says about growth. It's very cool about relationships, about how we think, how we make decisions. It all supports what the Bible says. And one of the things we found out about how people relate is a thing called mirror neurons. Mirror, like the mirror you look at, neurons, which are the little cells in your head. And they found out about mirror neurons because they work with monkeys, because monkeys are similar to us in, you know, our makeup and DNA and all that. And so they hook a monkey up with electrodes, so they're tied into every little specific part of the brain, and then the electrodes go through a cable to a computer, and then to another cable to another monkey. And that other monkey is watching the other monkey. They're in visual range of each other, and that second monkey's got little electrodes in their head. And then they watch to see what happens. And it's amazing, because one monkey will feel happy in some spot of their head. The other monkey will feel happy if it's looking at it. One monkey will feel angry or sad. The other monkey will feel angry or sad. And we found out there are things in our brains called mirror neurons, which when you're looking at someone, you can feel what they feel. They found the neurological basis for empathy. Empathy. When you really put yourself in the other person's shoes and you think they must be overwhelmed now, they must be so sad, they must be so isolated, so embarrassed, and you can feel it. We found out the nuts and bolts of how that happens. We have mirror neurons. And here's the point. For you to get those mirror neurons from other people, you've got to be vulnerable. You know, we're not vulnerable as Christians. When you have your Starbucks meeting with somebody, they say, how are you doing? Oh, I'm doing great, 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 fantastic. God's good, Romans 8:28, and I'm good looking, and I'm telling you, just so good. I wish you were me, because you could feel how good I am. That just requires medication, I'm sorry. But when you say, well, life's good, but I got a challenge with, I don't know, something at work where I'm really feeling weird or hard, or something, one of my kids is going south, or my marriage is struggling, or something's going on with my finances or my body, that gives a chance for the other person to watch you and to begin to feel empathy for you, and all of a sudden, they're in the well with you. It's our responsibility to be vulnerable to one another. And you don't have to put the Christian bow on everything. Oh, I know you're having a hard time. I mean, lots of people have divorce and seven kids on drugs and are broke, and but it'll be okay. It'll be okay. You know, listen, I got to go. That's just not helpful. What's helpful is, tell me more. I'm with you. I've struggled too. I'll pray for you. I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm with you. But you've got to be open to that. when you're open to it, the people are there. That's why I love what Derek said in the video about the life recovery groups and life groups. That's when you're around some safe people. I don't mean you be vulnerable to crazy people. That's not good. But you get vulnerable with safe people who are full of love and grace and truth, and they got no condemnation, and you begin to let your mirror neurons activate their mirror neurons, and very good things happen. Second part is information, second antibiotic. Because we need not only grace, but we need information. We need data. Give me the data. Give me the truth. Give me a Bible verse. Give me a research. Give me some principles. Give me feedback or whatever. But we all need truth with each other and data. That's what Ephesians tells us in 4:15. It says, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. We need the truth in love. We need lots of truth. If we don't have truth, we're kind of lost. About 3 years ago, I got a disorder called Bell's palsy, where half of your face gets paralyzed, just shuts down. Left side of my face was paralyzed, would not move, could not smile, could not open and close it. Don't worry, it's not contagious. Everybody's like this now. No, I don't have it anymore. It's not contagious. It's just very annoying. It comes from when you have chicken pox, and then the chicken pox vaccine goes dormant in you. It can manifest. Sometimes it comes out in a thing called shingles, which is painful, or Bell's palsy. And I had no idea I was going to get it. I had a consulting client coming to my house, and I woke up in the morning to get ready, and my face was paralyzed. And I did the whole stroke stuff, like left side, right side, left foot, you know, that was all fine. So I walked downstairs to open the door because my client had flown in, and he happened to own a medical company. And I opened the door, he goes, hey, we're going to ER. Went, okay, fine. So he takes me to ER and explains Bell's palsy, and he says, don't worry, it's just kind of, you know, just mainly a sign of stress, or it'll get well, and I got some treatment, and I was okay. It was an interesting time, though. Couldn't do any TV, couldn't do any video. And my sons would come in the room and go, Batman, Harvey Dent, Two-Face, way to go. Because I have very compassionate children. It's just... So I'm thinking about this spiritually, because I was thinking about Pharaoh, actually, and I was thinking, how many of these did he get? He got 10 things, and I got one thing. And so I went to God and said, God, whatever number two is, I don't want it. I don't want blood or flies or ants or anything or frogs. Whatever it is you're trying to tell me, I'm listening. And a really good friend of mine said, I know what it is. I said, what is it? She says, you're not accountable. And I said, yes, I am. I'm very accountable. She goes, no, you're not. You're a workaholic. And I said, well, maybe. Maybe you're right. Because I'm what I call a happy workaholic. I'm going to write a book on being a happy workaholic. Because I love working. I don't work because I'm depressed. I just like to work. But happy workaholics have a very high threshold of pain. We don't feel pain. Like, we raise Labrador Retrievers. Labs have no threshold of pain. You can take a lab and throw it against the wall and go, that was great, do that again. You know, I'm like that. I'm like that guy. I just don't feel it. So a company calls me in Manhattan and says, hey, come down here and work with our team for a day on Tuesday. I said, great. Company in Seattle calls and says, hey, work with our team on Wednesday. I said, great. What's the answer? The red eye. Red eyes aren't good for you. But I was doing it. And so she said, you're not accountable to enough people. You need to get a board. And I said, that sounds like not fun, having a board. She goes, do you want number two? I said, I'll get a board. Don't want number two. So I got several guys together who I know very well, and they're really successful and really seriously Christian guys and very wise. And I started meeting with them, and it changed everything because I wanted to say yes to every opportunity. And so I'd meet with them. I'd say, okay, great. I got this company that wants me to work with them. This is going to be great. And so I'll be starting to work with them next month. And they'd say, no, you're not. And I go, so I tried to be the Christian with them. I said, well, maybe God told me to. And they say, no, he told us that you'd be lying about this. No. So, and so they just kind of kicked my butt. And they kept saying, no, 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 no. And all of a sudden, my schedule got easier and more organized and more strategic, and everything got better. And I'm much healthier than I ever was before I met these guys because I had to listen to the information. So who's giving you information horizontally? The wisdom, the feedback, the challenge. It's just good for us. And then the third one is time. The third antibiotic is time. And what time is, it's just a process of events, meaning it takes time to heal, and it takes time to grow, and it takes time to change. Because God's process is he takes all of this relationship stuff, and he takes all this information truth stuff, and he puts it in a big bowl, and then he throws us in the oven, and the oven is where we get baked until we come out as a better person. That's really how it works. But we don't like ovens because we're an instant society. You know, Steve Arterman told me that he paces in front of the microwave. That's impatient. And we need to be patient with yourself. You and I need to be patient with ourselves. And, you know, it's one step forward, two steps back, two steps forward, one step back. But that's how God does it. Be nice to yourself. You're not going to have all the relational stuff and all the right habit stuff and all the business stuff and all the workout stuff all together for a while. Allow the process. That's why I love Ecclesiastes 3, where it just says there's a time to heal. But if you put the right people and the right information in that oven and then work on those things, in a matter of months, things are going to be significantly different. And I've seen it happen not only in my life, but thousands of times. Now, you might be on the side of things that wants to also help people in these matters. If you're a people helper, like I am, you might want to get training to help people and organizations to grow and transform too. We now have the Townsend Institute for Leadership and Counseling. My kids love it because they said that they knew that I'd be institutionalized one day. That's great. We are just up the road in Huntington, as who we partner with, Huntington University, in the city of Huntington, that's our partner. And Steve Arterman actually is part of our faculty. Steve is one of the teachers. We're now training people online to get a graduate degree in organizational leadership, counseling, or coaching, where the major emphasis is like this, is on relationships that are transparent and truth. We're totally online. We're moderate in price. There's information in the ministry hub about it. I'll be down there. But if you like that way that Steve and I think, that's how we're helping people. I was talking about this stuff to a group of really high-performing people, the couples group, 3 weeks ago in California. And I was talking about the process and being in the well with each other and being vulnerable with each other and being open with each other. And a guy raised his hand, and he's one of the major physicians in a metropolitan city. He's he's kind of the go-to guy in his field. And he said, "What about the zap?" I said, what's the zap? He goes, "I just don't want to do all this relational stuff. I want God to zap me. I want to zap my wife and zap my kids and zap me and zap my practice. I want the zap. I need this supernatural stuff. The stuff you're talking about, it sounds like you're on plan B, relationship. Why can't God just zap us? Why don't you talk about that?" And I said, "Well, yeah, we all would like to be zapped. I mean, and God zaps in the Bible. Jesus healed, and there's the Red Sea and all that. But that's not the norm in the Bible. In the Bible and in good research and in good medicine, healing is a process, with a few exceptions, but God throws out a miracle. And if you wait around for the zap, you wait around and outlast God." I told him, "I understand that you're impatient. I am impatient with myself, too." But I said, "The next time you're in a growth group," they were forming a couple's growth group, "and you open up about your childhood, the legalism you went through, the absent father, the black and white thinker, the guiltifying mother, the losses you've had, and you talk about how hard that was for you, and somebody in that room begins to weep and looks at you and says, 'I need to know more. I had no idea that you felt like this.'" I said, "I can tell you this on the authority of the Word of God, that that is just as zap and just as supernatural as a lightning bolt from God, because that is how you're getting the grace. Don't dismiss the power, the supernatural power of the body." He got it. I hope you get it, because it changed my life. Paul talks about this in 2 Corinthians 7, where he says, when I was depressed, Paul went through depression because of suffering, beatings, awful stuff he went through. He said, when I was in my distress, God sent Titus to comfort me. Now, God could have sent a zap. He could have sent a word, a passage, which he does in the Bible that, you know, just jumps out at you if that happened. He could have sent, you know, an angel. But right then, he sent a lumpy, bumpy, cellulite-filled person. Because that's how he does it. Don't dismiss the power of the body. My growth and healing and your growth and healing are only limited by the amount of grace we take in. Get as much as you can vertically from God. Get as much as you can horizontally from the right people. And you will find a life that is transformed. Here's the application. I like applications because the neuroscience says if you do a little bit on something between sermons, you'll change you for life. Just a little something. This week I will reach out to both God and people. Here's the challenge. Find someone beside your spouse who's safe and good and say, I just haven't talked about this and I'm embarrassed about it, or it's kind of humiliating, or I'm a little ashamed of it. But this guy said I need to open up to more people besides God and my spouse and my dog. See what happens. If they're a good person, things are going to be good. I'll be meeting people now out in the ministry hub and saying howdy. And be sure and be here next week when Steve Arterburn returns for the third part of a very, very important series in the life of Northview. So let's close in prayer. God, we're your kids, and sometimes we don't know how to ask for things. Help us to see in Jesus with skin on the love and the grace that you bring them. Help us to use it. Help us to grow. Help us to heal. And then help us to help a world that is in such darkness that needs Jesus desperately. In your name we pray. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a good one.
Thanks for listening to the Northview Church podcast. We're so glad that you joined us. If you have questions about something you heard in this week's message or would like to share how God has impacted your life, please email us at info@northviewchurch.us. For more information about Northview, visit us at www.northviewchurch.us. Have a great week and be sure to join us again here at Northview Church.